marriage. Freedom from demoniac possession. Freedom from the world. Freedom. That's freedom. Amen. That is freedom. Praise God. Praise God. And when you know the name, when you know the name, you can be assured you are free. The name of Jesus Christ gives freedom. And only this name gives freedom. Hallelujah. Praise that name. Praise that name. Today, I want to talk about something that we do not mainly pay attention to. Amen? And I title the message of today, not about the ladder. It is all about the wall. It might sound a little bit difficult to understand, but those who work with ladders, they know what I'm trying to talk about. Amen? Let's read. Let's read in Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 4. We will read verses 13 and verses 14. I don't know what the Lord is going to do. I suspect that we will have a short message today, because it's not going to be today that we will deliver every understanding of this subject. It is so very important, and we will not do it just on one day. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I want us to consider one thing. Ladders are used to reach heights. Ladders are used to reach heights that normally you can't reach. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to just let this sink a little bit, and we will read. Esther, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. It says, then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is the most precious nurture that we can get. The most precious aliment for our soul. Father, we pray that this word has a meaning in our mind and in our hearts. That as we start today talking about, it's not about the ladder. It is all about the wall. That all our souls, all our minds, all our hearts be conveyed. So at the end of this session, we grow in you. We start another journey with you. For it is all about your way, not our way. So Lord, help us. Let your anointing flow through your word, that our heart and our mind are touched, our souls are touched, and that we are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We pray in that name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ladders. Amen. I don't know if Brother Gaela has these three type of ladders on the internet for us. So we have three type of ladders. The first one is non-self-supporting ladder. That one right there. It has no supports. And it's a straight ladder, a single section, and it is indispensable for general use. That is the ladder that is the commonly used. You want to paint those walls, you need such a ladder. You got to get high to touch a point that you could not touch. Staying on your feet, that's the ladder you would use. Amen? It can go from 30 feet to something like 60 to 72 feet high. Amen? But we have also the self-supporting ladders. You see, it has over there to the left, it has a kind of another foot behind that is holding where you put your feet to go up. Amen? So this ladder doesn't go higher than 20 feet. That's why you need the standard one, the first one. Amen? And this one in the middle, it is a two-faced ladder. Okay, when you extend it, you can go up to the top, and instead of coming back down, you can go to the other side. So let's say that I want to paint this wall. Instead of taking the standard one, since I know with these two-side ladder I can reach, so I will put it like that, and I go up, I'm finishing this way, and I jump to the other side, and I paint, and it's easy. But this ladder, the problem is that it doesn't go higher as the standard one. So I'm just talking about these ladders to singularize that one, the standard one. That one goes high. And that one is commonly used. It is indispensable for even industrial work. So this is the ladder that you would use to reach something like 72 feet high. I remember when we were growing up, there was a work in our school. And back in Africa, it's not like here where we can play anywhere, we can play anyhow. And nobody is even looking after us. So a few of us chose to play with the ladder because the people that were constructing this building, they were not around. So we choose to play with the ladder. So what it is, we wanted to show how strong we were. And among the few of us, I was the skinniest one, always. Amen. So the stronger one, he is tall and he is muscular. So he will go and take the ladder and hold it with his two hands. And then he will let everyone climb the ladder all the way up. And since I was not that heavy, he would step, hold it, and I will go up all the way up. And everybody was like, whoa, that's too high. That's who, he's strong. And I would come down. I don't know how they found this idea to make it a turn-to-turn thing. So you hold it, somebody climbs, and then that person holds it, and you climb. It wasn't good. It was not good. So it was my turn to hold the ladder and let Veer is the mastered one. And man, after two steps on the ladder, I felt that I could not hold it. Oh, man. I just swerve and let the ladder come down. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. He didn't fracture anything, but he bled because he had a lip that was cut. And I can assure you that he paid it on me. Yeah. He beat me up like a... and I bled. So, but in Africa, that was just nothing. You go home and they don't ask you what happened to your lips. Nobody asks you. They know you out there playing dangerous. Except when you are broken, you have broken a bone or something, that's when they start asking. But if you have red eyes and you have no, they don't care if you bruise or no. It will heal. So it's just kids. So this is what I remember about ladders. It has to be lent to something strong enough to hold it so you can climb. Amen? So I want to just attract your attention to the wall on which you lean your ladder to go up. If the wall cannot handle it, you might end up like Veer with a lip turned out, or all your face bleeding, and if you are not lucky, you might break some bones. So ladders, they may be strong enough, they may be, I would say, sophisticated enough, but if it is not leaning on the right wall, it's not good enough. So that's why I say that. Not about the ladder. It is all about the wall. Now I want to put it in the spiritual arena. We want to achieve something. We want to get to a level where we want to feel that we have come up to it. And we use ladders without knowing. Education is a ladder to get to where you want to go. Right? You want to be a successful athlete. Training is a ladder to get where you want to want to go. Coaches are ladder, a type of ladder to get where you want to go. And in the world, people use ladders that you don't want to use. The ladders that are not ladders that you want to use. They want to get rich and they want to get rich quickly. They use ladders that you don't want to use. Amen? But all these ladders are ladders. They're just ladders. They got to be lent to something. And this thing, if it is not the right thing, it is not good. It is not good. Amen? Here, in the book of Esther, the story is this. The king of Persia had a queen, and that queen was so arrogant that the king got rid of her. And the king was looking for another queen. Huh? So he sent out, he is the king, whosoever daughter that they found that pleases the eyes and the heart of the king. That was the queen. Amen? So they went out looking around, and there was somebody here, Haman, that was next to the king. He was like a Joseph to Pharaoh. Amen? This guy, he would play, his politics to get a queen to the king. Hallelujah. But God had already prepared a queen for the king. Make things short. They gathered all the girls. And at the end, the king chose this Jewish girl. She was pretty. She was beautiful. And the king loved her. And the king chose her to be the queen. And this girl, Esther, was an orphan. She was raised by her uncle, Mordecai. And Mordecai was one of the employees of the king. Amen? Now, the king has chosen the niece of Mordecai. But Haman lost. Retaliation. He wouldn't like that. So, Queen Esther had some boundaries that she could not go out of. And one of these boundaries was that if the king did not send for her, she could not come to the king at no time. If she appears to the king without the king calling for her, the law was she got killed. That was the law. You come to the king without his consent, you get killed. I don't know why it was like that, but those kings, they had how many women? They had a lot of concubines and a lot of women, but one queen. So if the queen came to the king without his consent, she was put to death. Amen? Now, what happened? Haman found a way to be raised to the position where he was right after the king. Amen? And Haman got the king to erect a law saying that whenever Haman is coming around, everybody should bow. That was what the Torah of the Jews forbid Jewish people to do. You cannot bow down unless it is to God, Jehovah. You cannot bow down to anybody, no king, except to Jehovah. Remember Daniel? He went to the lion den because he would not bow down to the king. Remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? They went to the burning furnace because they would not bow down. So, good Jews, he will not bow down to Haman. He would not bow down to Haman.
So, I didn't know that anti-Semitism started way far in history than it is now. Haman went to the king, said, you know, there's some people in this kingdom and you who really mock you. They don't want to respect your laws. They want to respect your laws.
And the king says, who is that? The Jew guy, Mordecai, he wouldn't bow down. So, king, here is what I want you to do. Give me the permission to exterminate all the Jews. Kill them all. Make of them nothing. Kill them all. And he made sure, because he knew the king loves money. He said, 10,000 sickles. I will pay to you to do that. Man. The king says, yeah, no problem. Do it as it pleases to you. So a decree went out all around. All the Jews, you're going to be exterminated. So Mordecai, who was an employee of the king, he heard that. The Bible says he tore his clothes and he went out in the city crying like a baby. Crying because all his people are going to be destroyed. So he went with sackclothing to the king palace. He could not go in with the sackclothing in the in, in,
palace. So he's standing out there. And he said to Esther, "Oh, Nisi, something is so bad that you have to intervene. Something is so bad that you have to intervene." Amen? See the ladder here. The ladder that got Esther to the king palace. Her beauty. She was beautiful. Amen? That is the ladder that she climbed all the way to the king palace to be the queen. But it was not about the ladder. It was about the wall on which she put her ladder. And that is what is very important that we look to understand. Esther was leaning to the king. The ladder of Esther was leaning to the palace. And Mordecai would tell her, "You know what is happening? You got to move your ladder. You got to move the ladder. Because if you don't, we all are going to perish. Move the ladder. You got to do it quick. Because if you don't, the decree has gone out. And everybody has to hear it. And then the execution will start. Move it. Move it quickly." That's why the Bible says, verse 9, "And Haman went out that day, joyful and glad of her. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he never rose nor trembled before him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai." He had been given the authority and the okay to go ahead and kill the Jews. "And this Jew sees me, and he is not trembling, and he is not disturbed." He was in wrath. He was in wrath. That's chapter 5, verses 9. So, when Esther heard that Mordecai was at the gate of the palace, and he was crying, and he was in sackcloth, she sent her eunuch, because the queen had always a eunuch, and you wouldn't like being a eunuch, because what they do is they take your manhood out of you, and you serve the queen for the king. So he went to Mordecai, asked Mordecai, "What is going on?" Mordecai said, "Go tell Esther. Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all of the other Jews. We will all be killed. Your ladder is leaning to the wrong wall. Change it." And Esther sent back And Mordecai said, you got to go to the king. And you got to tell the king, here is the decree that has gone out. And we are all in this thing together. But Esther said, go to Mordecai and tell him, you know, if I go to the king, I'm dead. There's 30 days he didn't talk to me. 30 days he didn't call me. I got to wait until he called me. I can't go. If I go, you know the rule. You work here and you know the rule. He's gonna get me killed. But there was one thing that the king could do to spare whosoever comes to her to him without permission. He had a scepter, golden scepter. That means power. That means everything. You remember Moses? Moses. Stick, that was something like that. So if the king raises this scepter towards you, you are spared. So Esther said, if I go and he doesn't do that, I'm gone. So she said, go tell Mordecai, I'm going to do it. But you got to involve God in this. That's changing the ladder from the wall of the palace to the wall of heaven. So fast, every one of you, don't let nobody eat. Me, myself, I'm going to fast. That's why you hear the Esther fast, the Esther fast, the Esther fast. Oh, this girl, she saved the Jewish people. They fasted. At the end of the fast, she went to the king. Oh, the king listened to her. The king listened to Esther. And that saved Jewish people. And what happened? Haman. Woo-hoo. Haman took the place of the Jewish people. If your ladder is leaning to the wall of the world, you might end up like Haman. Haman's ladder was leaning on the wall of the world. He was successful. And he was right next to the king. Just like Esther was successful and she was next to the king. But the ladders were not leaning on the same wall. Amen? Esther switched her ladder to the heavenly wall. Haman kept his ladder on the worldly wall. It does not depend on the ladder. You may climb it and climb it and climb it and get to the top of it to find out it is the wrong wall. And when you fall, you may not be as lucky as my friend Veer. For Haman did not end well. The wall was the wrong wall. Amen? Today,
People have climbed the ladder of God. They have gotten so high in life. And they forget that it is God that lifted them up to that level. Folks, you are in America. It's God that brought you here. If you are here for your studies, for your schooling, be careful. It's a ladder. Where are you leaning this ladder? To what where? What wall are you leaning this ladder? You may achieve everything. Get all the degrees and become somebody. But if your ladder is on the wrong wall, I'm weeping for you. I'm crying for you. For you can end up like Haman. But if you get to the ladder and you are Esther, remember, God has sent you here for something precise. That you be a blessing to others. God never blesses anybody for himself. Just give him the millions. Give him the... He blesses you to be a blessing for others. He said, Abraham, I will bless you. And through you, I will bless all the families of the world. God never blesses nobody for himself. He blesses you for all his purpose. And God has a purpose for every one of us. You do not set your feet where he has no purpose for you to set your foot on. Some people prayed. They fasted. Their parents prayed and fasted. They got here. They're successful. And what they do? They switch the ladder to another world. Now I am successful. Now I have everything. Forget about God. Forget about God. We will see him in heaven. He is the God of heaven and he is the God of earth. If your ladder is not leaning on him, may God bless us. May him, his hand guide us, and may his wisdom teach us to recognize the wall on which we have our life. The ladder you are on top of, check very well. Is it leaning on God? Is it leaning on the word of God? Or is it leaning on the world? I have achieved. I have everything. I have my degrees. I have my house. I have my job. I know everybody around. I am strong. I don't need God no more. We need to be careful and
I'm going to conclude this sermon today. Next week, we will continue and we will see in detail how Haman got to where he got and what was his step-by-step trajectory. And we will also see how Esther got to where she is, and step by step how she got there. And I want every one of us that have heard this message today to think of the fact that we are intertwined with the world. What do I mean? What do I mean by that? We are in the world. We are in the world. We interact with the world. Our food comes from the world. Our clothing comes from the world. Everything, our even the mic that I'm talking through, comes from the world. But I want us to understand that all these are just means that God has given us for a purpose. Because God has a purpose for every one of us. And He will make sure we are equipped enough to fulfill this purpose. Now, we have this knowledge. What do we do? What do we do with this knowledge? Let's stand. King Jesus, I know You are in Your word. I know wherever Your word comes forth, it touches a heart. It touches a mind. It touches the soul. I pray that the few words that I have said, oh God, carry the power of transformation, carries the power of change, carries the power of salvation, deliverance, healing, and all help. Whosoever hears this word find himself leaning his life on the walls of the world. God, let that person, if they cry out to You, that You save them, that You bring them back with their ladder to the walls of heaven. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.